Thank you so much for being here. We are so delighted to be here. And I would like to actually acknowledge the members of our research team who are here, our students Miriam as well as Alan and Jeanette, and also colleagues in the audience. So may I ask you, your neighbor saw you and knows that you're actually working in public health. So he asked you, I have 5 more minutes before I go to my next meeting. What can you tell me about the social determinants of health? So you actually recognize that it's a golden opportunity, and now here is your mind trying to rapidly translate in a politically relevant manner the classic definition of the social determinants of health, which is or are the conditions in which you are born, grow, live, work, and play. So how are you going to do that? We have 5 minutes. So how about if you actually find yourself in a parent-teacher meeting, and here you are approached by your next-door neighbor, a 68-year-old grandmother, who recently migrated in the United States, to the United States in the last 8 years or so, and whose grandson actually is in the same class as your son, and asks you, I have heard about the social, I think it's determinants, they say it's determinants, at least in the news. What can you tell me about it? So how are you going to respond to those questions? See, the social determinants of health is actually expressed by Dr. Marshall. It's actually a highly technical language, and it's a highly jargony phrase as well, which are actually expressed in academic terms. And it's actually being thrown much more frequently now in so many discussions, whether they be research, in academic discussions, as well as also in political meetings. But do we really grasp its meaning? In fact, social determinants of health can mean so many things to so many people. And this is why we have actually conceived this research, because we want to know of alternative ways by which we can express the concept of the social determinants of health in a way that resonates with both the general public as well as with local and state policymakers while remaining technically correct. In fact, let me tell you a quick story. I was actually in a community meeting in which I was with several community organization representatives as well as with members of the local Senate as well as of the House of Representatives. And a House representative actually remarked, you know, these social determinants of health are actually at the crux of the so many social, economic, environmental, and political issues that we are in. But how do I explain this to my fellow legislators who are in the Senate as well as in the House in a way that they could understand and appreciate and possibly put it on their agenda list? So the social determinants of health actually is all around us. And because they are so ubiquitous and vast in its scope, it actually presents a challenge in terms of resource allocation as well as in actually translating it in a language that people understand, even in a way that policymakers understand. And at times, the challenge is not convincing them that they are important. The challenge is, how are we going to act upon this when it's so vast, when it's so ubiquitous, when it's so esoteric? So if Dr. Marshall's study was actually about imagery, ours is about semantics. And so we would like to actually walk you through this presentation in that we would like to discuss what message framing is, and in a way we have done that, why use it? Is there another way of framing the social determinants of health message? And what did policymakers and public health professionals think? Can we enhance the delivery of the social determinants of health message? So in communicating health information, even Aristotle mentioned that there are 3 important things that we need to remember: audience, message, purpose. Who is our focus in public health? What do we want to convey? Why do we want to convey what we want to convey to the people that we want to convey it to? So why frame the social determinants of health message? We need to frame the social determinants of health message in a way that resonates with people so that we can then change mental mindsets. We can change mental models, focus more on capacities, which means the ability to be able to do something or to change something, and perhaps craft messages so that they would actually help shape opinions as well as policies towards this message, and also refine the message of delivery strategies. And there is actually a way of possibly emphasizing the social determinants of health while also acknowledging accountability or responsibility. But before we actually look into framing, which is the heart of this message, and framing is actually defined in social sciences as a set of concepts and theoretical perspectives that actually talk about how individuals, organizations, and societies organize, perceive, and communicate the reality around them. So in short, framing is actually the mental construct that we have in how we view the world around us. But to frame social determinants of health, we need to understand that there are actually differences in the features of social determinants of health, as well as in the nuances of the policy-making process. In that, as you can see over there, social determinants of health, by their very nature, are actually multifaceted, with multiple causes. While in policy-making, you actually need to have coordinated strategies, which are often very difficult to achieve. Social determinants of health span a life course. We don't want policymakers to span the life course, do we? They have timetables. They have tenure. So, and then, of course, social determinants of health, being systemic or systematic, actually require intersectoral collaboration and partnership. And that is very challenging in the area of politics. Social determinants of health have actually been referred to by Australian colleagues as a weakened problem because they are so complex, and that is and also very difficult to attribute a specific cause. Now, in politics, you want to be able to attribute a specific cause because you want to actually be responsible and you want to be transparent in terms of where you put the people's money, where you put the resources to, and because you rely on process measures. So that they will know, people could evaluate your performance. In social determinants of health, we rely on data. There's often a dearth of data in politics, in terms of data that are timely, available, as well as that of high quality. Social determinants of health is often expressed in a global context. On the other hand, policymaking actually involves stakeholders at multiple levels. So what we did is actually we administered a qualitative online survey, it's a convenient sample, to look at how policymakers think about the world of social determinants, as well as public health professionals.
I'm guessing we're short on time, and that's okay, because you all look rather tired and ready for the day to be done, but hang in there. I'm just going to go through some of the data that we actually found. We were curious to see if policymakers and public health professionals had ever heard of the social determinants of health, the concept of it, how familiar they were, and whether or not they were interested in learning more. You'll notice, of course, that public health professionals, which is good, knew quite a bit about social determinants of health, were somewhat familiar, and 60% said they were likely to learn more. Obviously, legislators and local policymakers had heard of them less, were less familiar, but still positively showed that they wanted to learn more. We wanted to know, is there another way of communicating the social determinants of health message to people in a way that they can understand, that's clear and that's concise? I'm sure many of you have heard of the RWJF Foundation, and they were able to rephrase the social determinants of health message into 6 statements that were clear, simple, easy to communicate, using regular language that any person could understand. For those of you who haven't seen them, I'm just going to go through them briefly. For example, health starts long before illness. All Americans should have the opportunity to make choices that allow them to live healthy, long lives, irregardless of income, education, ethnic background. Your neighborhood or your job shouldn't be hazardous. Your opportunity for health begins long before you actually seek medical care. Health begins where we live, learn, work, and play, and of course, opportunity for health begins in our families, neighborhoods, schools, and jobs. So we presented these six statements, these RWJF statements, to the different groups, and we asked them how strongly they matched their personal beliefs. State legislators, unsurprisingly, talked, resonated strongly the whole message of health starts long before illness. Additionally, the opportunity for health care begins before you need it, medical care, that is, and, of course, the opportunity for health begins in our families, neighborhoods, schools, and jobs. Local policymakers had a very similar, in fact, incredibly similar, outlook on this. And looking at public health professionals, we see, once again, very similar thoughts and beliefs on their personal level. We were also interested in how they thought public health policies and laws actually influenced health and health behavior. And you'll see everyone agreed, okay, yes, laws and regulations do have an impact. And then we presented to them different categories or different indicators, social determinants of health indicators, and we asked them which of them had the largest impact on individual and population health. You'll see that of those top three across the board were health services and access, health behavior, and employment. There was, of course, some slight variation in their rankings of how important they were, but once again, those three came across on all three levels.
And so in terms of equity, which have always been associated with the social determinants of health, we actually look into the Marmot Review, as we have heard from Sir Michael himself yesterday. So the Marmot Review crafted six policy objectives that have to be met or addressed in order to reduce health inequities. And so these policy objectives are six, first of which is give every child the best start in life. And if you remember him yesterday, he said, don't blame the children. Okay. Number two, enable all children, young people, and adults to maximize their capabilities and have control over their lives. Create fair employment and good work for all. Ensure a healthy standard of living for all. Create and develop healthy and sustainable places and communities. Strengthen the role and impact of ill prevention. So when we ask public health professionals, as well as local and state policymakers, so which of this actually resonate with you as a legislative priority? So their top three answers are actually give every child the best start in life, enable autonomy, which you will see in both local and state policymakers, and also prioritizing prevention and health inequities for legislators. Now, for public health professionals, understandably and expectedly, number one for them would actually be a message or addressing an objective that has to do with prioritizing prevention and health inequities, because that is the very nature of their work.
Okay, who here can see the problem and shout it out when you see it? Where are they getting their information from when they're trying to make legislation about people's health? Does anyone see a problem yet? Okay, yeah, number three across the board was internet. You'll notice local and state public health agencies did not make the list. Like, we gave them options. They didn't rank us very high, okay? So that's kind of a heads up. They're getting their information from the internet, from constituents, consulting with their colleagues, and in some cases the Office of Legislative Counsel. I'm not saying these are bad resources. I'm saying that if you have the chance to talk with your policymakers, that would be a great opportunity to explain the social determinants of health and convince them not to use the internet for everything, okay? Google's not our savior there. We also asked them what SDH measures they need to make health like related decisions, and then ask them to rank them again. You'll see, by and large, they're interested in neighborhood resources and health services and healthcare access. They need information about that in order to make good policy. And you'll notice, again, another problem. The information and data they have is inadequate for them to make good, informed decisions, okay? Interestingly enough, if they had a health profile for their community that was, like, updated and was current and was useful, they would use it. Okay, so maybe that's an opportunity for us to jump in there and beat Google. And then, of course, how do they want to receive that data? By and large, by email, a regularly updated online database, or occasionally a hard copy, if those still exist. Finally, we're just going to briefly buzz through this. We have a system in Utah called the Indicator-Based Information System in Public Health, or IBISPH. It's our database of 187 different categories of information from BRFSS and other sources. It is incredible. Here's kind of the shocking thing that no one uses it because it's so hard to use. And so we need to find a way to make that information available to policymakers long before they have to come to us and ask. So here for the key messages, we'll pass over to Len.
So what have we learned from this survey? We have learned that, first of all, policymakers need to know more about social determinants of health, and it has to be explained and taught to them in a manner that is simple, relevant, relatable at the individual level, and also one that speaks of their values as well as their orientation. And the wonderful thing is that they are willing to learn more about the social determinants of health. They are receptive to the message. Second, this message of social determinants of health need not divide us, you know, between who is Democrat or who is a Republican. We actually can take advantage of identifying the common ground. Use plain language, it is backed up by data, and let it speak to needs as well as orientation. As Tip O'Neill and Thomas O'Neill Sr. mentioned, all politics is local. This has been often attributed to Tip O'Neill, former Speaker of the House. And actually, his father was the one who said, you know what, son? And this was the time when he lost an important election. You actually received so many good votes, but then you didn't have those votes in your own backyard, in your own neighborhood. So may I tell you, all politics is local. So, in other words, the social determinants of health also need to be expressed within the parameters of the local context so that people can connect with them in terms of daily living and experiences. And then, conclusion number three is that positively framed message on health with underlying message of accountability resonated best with policymakers. And these are actually messages that have an underlying message of health, starting with schools, with homes, and with jobs. So it's actually speaking about what can we do within schools, within our own families, and also in our places of employment. And in terms of the six policy objectives in the Marmot Review, what resonated best with policymakers is giving every child the best start in life. So what would be the practical implication of this? This means then that we in public health have the opportunity to actually frame our message within this objective. First of all, positively frame in terms of health, and also looking at it in terms of what is best for the child, in terms of child development as well as child benefits. And we also need to provide policymakers the data that they need to make health-related decisions. They have already claimed that they need adequate data. A data that is actually easily understandable for them. Why? Because in public health, our audience is made up of both policymakers and public health professionals, and also the people themselves. And they have varying levels of numeracy as well as literacy. And policymakers prefer receiving health information by email, hard copy, or online databases. So which means then that if we are to actually provide health information to our policymakers, they would prefer to actually use email, hard copy, or online databases. Thank you so much.
Right. Thank you to all of our speakers. And I would just like to make a comment real quick before we go to questions about the video that Dr. Arno referenced at the beginning of the session, the Is Inequality Making Us Sick? Unnatural Causes. If you haven't seen it, it is a wonderful tool and resource that really highlights and portrays the social determinants. I first watched it in my master's program and have since then showed every class I've taught that particular section especially, but there's six, I think, right? Six different segments of that. But if you haven't seen it, you should definitely check it out. Now I would like to open up the floor for questions. Yes, ma'am. Did you?
Okay. I'm currently doing some work under the CTG grant, Community Transformation Grant.
I think you're having a tape. Sorry.
I'm currently doing some work under the Community Transformation Grant called the Patient-Centered Medical Home. And so we're working with federally qualified health centers to try to work with them to move in that direction, as well as include the social determinants of health and improving and changing their practice. So that's kind of one of the models that is particularly promising.
A couple of the key informants that were from my interviews were primary care providers, and so while it wasn't the same as asking specific social determinants, they were able to provide background around some of those key factors that are essentially determinants of resources, knowledge, so on and so forth.
For this study that we did not actually include primary care physicians, but we have another study that we are presenting tomorrow, or actually on Wednesday, in which we were looking at medical students. And so we would like to find out their perspectives, their views, their level of awareness on the social determinants of health, and if they are actually moving upstream.